Today, we're going to talk about rising hope, and I'm so glad that you've tuned in. I mean, we've been through a turbulent year, and what I'm finding more and more often, and what I feel the Spirit saying, and as I was praying this week, is that things have been ongoing for so long, it feels like that real hopelessness, that real worry has started to set in. You know what I mean? It feels like it started to set in, and every defense that we had up against in 2020, it's like the new year breaking was kind of the final straw, or the straw that broke the camel's back, in the sense of, you know, you're getting ready for a new year, things are going to change, things are going to be hopeful, and then we get a vaccine, and then it's like, well, maybe it won't be effective, or maybe it's this, or maybe that, and it feels like every single thing that we're pinning our hopes on, and we're hoping for change, and we're hoping this thing to be over, we've now quickly realized we might have to live with this thing for years. We might have to find a way to adapt to it. Maybe there's no such thing as going back, there's only going forward, and it's that realization hitting, and when you've been bombarded with news, and most of the time it's bad and it feels hopeless, we can get ourselves to a place where is my hope? And so today I want to talk about rising hope. You know, the kind of faith or the kind of hope that works even when you're not thinking, even when you're not praying, the kind of rising hope that keeps rising even when it feels like the weight of the world keeps on sinking. It's that kind of hope. And that's the hope that we're going to talk about, and that's the hope that we're going to go into. And I want to pray that the Holy Spirit would just grab our attention today. Holy Spirit, God, I just pray today that you would help us, you would enable us, and as we look at this rising hope, I pray that even right now, hope is starting to rise in our spirit, because Lord, we have been in a crazy season, and we're going to continue to be in a crazy season, but it is all okay, because if God is with us, we can overcome. And so I pray today, Lord, that we would hear from heaven, and it would transform our thinking, and our lives would radically be affected. Lord, we are here for you, and you are here for us. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're talking about rising hope. Let me give you a verse. Psalm 121, verse 1 says this: I lift my eyes to the hills, from where does my help come? And it's a question mark. And you've got to think of it like a song, because it's like the psalmist, and he's kind of writing this song and singing this song. And then in verse 2, straight away, he sings the next line. And this is what we need to sing over our lives today. My help comes from the Lord, who made the heavens and earth. My help comes from the Lord, who made the heavens and the earth. So what I do in tough times, what do I do when it comes to looking for hope? I look up and I see the Lord, and he transforms everything. I feel like another word that God's been putting in my heart is uncertainty. What do you do with uncertainty? What do you do when every bit of your life feels uncertain, and all the things you used to stand on, suddenly you can't stand on anymore? I think one of the biggest things that's happened over this last while is that we've realized, even as Christians, some of the things we were serving God, we were after the things of God, but in all honesty, there was other things in our lives that give us stability. And then when those things were removed, we were like, oh my gosh, like, what am I supposed to do with my faith? And as a Christian, if you lose your hope, it feels like you've lost everything. I mean, even as an everyday person, if you lose your hope, it feels like you've lost everything. But as a Christian, we should be full of hope, radiating with hope, and hope should be rising in our hearts. And so at the start of a new year, when we're hoping for big dreams and big things, and already it looks like they're not going to happen, and it feels like we're going to continue with last year, I want you to know that hope is still rising. And where are you going to look? You're going to look to the Lord, and you're going to look to heaven. So question number one, where do you look? Where does your hope come from? Like, I mean, where do you look on, like, every day, every moment, when things are not going right, when everything's going wrong, you know, when you get that phone call, you get that call, you get that letter, or you're just not feeling your best, where do you look to? The psalmist says you've got that looking is important, and you've got to look to somewhere. And he says to look to the hills, but where do we look to? And of course, it's not really like looking to the hills or looking to this, it's that hope. Where do you look for hope? And I've written down just a few things that we tend to do. We look to friends and family. And there's nothing wrong with friends and family. But I got a study through recently, and I was reading the article, and they said that what we find now with millennials especially, and younger people that's coming through, is that they've lost faith in older people in terms of, like, leaders, because leaders have let them down. They've said the right things, tried to do the right things, but then it all turned out that they maybe were working on an alternative agenda. And it was about money. It was about something else. And so in other words, their truth wasn't trustworthy. They couldn't believe what they've said. And so instead of trusting leaders, which you're kind of supposed to do, but the leaders weren't trustworthy, and they weren't putting their trust in God, because God says, you know, my hope is that leaders will trust me, and then through my guidance and my wisdom, they'll lead people well. And so that's the idea, that's the model that God has given us. But because we've had so long with bad leaders, then we're not trusting our leaders. So guess what we're doing? We're trusting the people beside us, and we're trusting our peers. But the problem with that is, given the friend circle that you're in, will be your worldview. And so if what they're sharing is not healthy, then how will you see anything different? How will you see anything different? Who will you respond to? Who will you look up to? And so today we need a reset. We need Psalm 121 going on in our hearts, where it says, where do I look to? I look to the hills. I look to the highest places. I find the King of Kings. I look to the Lord, because he has never failed. And even though there are little leaders underneath him, and little leaders that have tried to rule the world and try to do this and try to do that, even though they've let me down, I will not let it take away my route to him, because I still can trust Jesus, because he has never failed. And so guys, we can look to friends and family, but what we've realized over this last year, they don't have the answers to what I need. In fact, maybe your friends and family are already crumbling. They're already uncertain. And so uncertainty plus uncertainty doesn't make you certain. It just gets you more stress. It gets you more anxiety. And maybe you're feeling that today. I think before, what we used to do was we run, put ourselves headlong or head first into our work. So I'm going to work hard. That's going to be my hope. That's where I'm going to find my hope. And I'm going to work hard, earn hard, get the life that I want. But what if your work has been off this last year? What if you've been locked down and you couldn't work? What if the work that you once loved is now at home, and there's just not the atmosphere? There's just not the people. It's just not the same. You can't travel. You can't go face to face. And so now suddenly work is, there's no longer any hope in it. There's no longer what you had before. That stabilization has now been removed. And then of course there's money. But again, what's the point of money if you can't go anywhere? Or what if the money that you had and that you hoped in, but now you can't spend it, and you can't use it, and you can't do anything with it? And then you realize, well, money, is it really all it's cracked up to be? Is it really what I need for life? Or maybe it's health. But what's been hit the most over this last year? Our health, our well-being. It's like, oh my goodness, I was feeling healthy and strong because I used to do this. I used to go to the gym every day. I used to work every day. I used to run every day. I used to meet this person every day. Every single thing that we might have put in place to give us health and strength and hope has now been removed. And so where do you look to? Where do you look to in your life? Maybe you thought you looked to God. Maybe you thought you looked to the right things, but now things have been exposed and things have being revealed, and instead of hope rising, hope is sinking. And when hope sinks in your heart, guess what way you feel? Low, not very good. You don't dream, you don't go after in the same way. And so today I want to encourage you, we've got to look higher, even when it feels like we should look the same or look lower, or what do we do, or I don't even want to. We've got to look higher. 2020 has stripped away everything that we were used to, all those foundations, all those things that we took comfort and find hope in. All of those things have been removed. And so where does that leave you today? Come on, if we were being honest, when you remove hope, guess where you get to very quickly? Discouraged. Discouragement. The number one tactic of the enemy, discouragement. I mean, of course he's out to kill, steal, and destroy, but most occasions it's not physical. He starts to kill, steal, and destroy. You bring restrictions in, bring viruses in, bring this in, bring that in, just decay life, and just bring all these different things into play. And before you know it, all the things you trusted in, all the things you find hope in, you're starting to feel discouraged. And if he can get you to discouraged, he starts to rob you of every aspect of your life and in all the ways that God has created you. So the number one goal of the enemy, or the number one weapon of the enemy, of the devil, is discouragement. And why discouragement? Because discouragement always destroys hope. Come on. You know this. Discouragement always destroys hope. And when you haven't got hope, you pretty much don't even have life. And so maybe as you woke up into 2021 with that normal excitement, with even that kind of like, you know, things could change, things could happen, but then you're being bombarded every single day that things aren't going to change and things are getting worse and there's another variant and there's another part of the virus coming that we're not sure, and will the vaccine work? And I mean, all it's doing is breeding discouragement. And when discouragement discouragement rises, hope sinks, and when you've got no hope, you've got no life. This is the reality. And even as Christians, this can set root in our hearts. And wherever you find yourself, maybe right now you're going, this is me and this shouldn't be me and this is terrible. And all you're doing is pushing yourself down more. Don't discourage yourself, but instead look to heaven and encourage your heart. We need to get hope. We need to get it. But here's what discouragement does. And I think it's worth thinking about it because maybe it's going to hit some things of what you're facing right now. Discouragement brings an uneasiness and it brings a discomfort. Ever been like just going through life, you know, you're going to bed, getting up the next day, but you're feeling discouraged and there's a heaviness and you might not be able to even put your finger on one single thing, but there's an uneasiness in your heart. It's just like things that you eat and you do, you just get no enjoyment out of them. It's like it seems to rob every single aspect of our lives. Once you get discouraged and hope gets destroyed, then it's like even things you enjoyed, you get no enjoyment. You actually don't even want to do them. You get uneasy in things. You even feel sick at times when you shouldn't feel sick. But it starts to affect your health. I think what it really does is it stops you dreaming. And we were made to dream. I mean, honestly, we were made to dream. Imagination, dreams, you know, thinking things up. I mean, think back to those early days and you're watching movies and your mind is getting blown when you're like, I don't know, a teenager, an early teenager. You're like 8 or 9 or 10 and you're watching some movie at the start. It's a Disney movie. And you're like, oh my gosh, is this for real? Like, I remember the first time I saw the first Charlie in the Chocolate Factory. And I loved the way Charlie dreamed. And he just was trying to get this chocolate bar, to get the golden ticket, to get to the Chocolate Factory. And then he got there and it was beyond his wildest dreams. I think whenever we stop dreaming, then life just becomes very small, very limited. And when life becomes small and limited, it's depressing. And it feels like there's just no hope in it. And it feels like, where do I go next? And what can I do? And maybe that's how you're feeling right now. But I'm going to bring you encouragement and I'm going to bring you hope from God's word. And lastly, and you could say loads more, but your emotions become unhealthy. Whenever you lose discouragement and your hope gets taken from you and it gets destroyed, and discouragement is just rampant in your heart and rampant in your life, let's be real, you're a nightmare to be around. Your emotions are all over the place. You could be crying one minute and angry the next. You're going to be critical. You're going to be like just nervous and scared and full of anxiety. You're going to have no time. You're going to have a short fuse. You're just not going to be healthy in any single area of your emotions. And then you're going to be led by your emotions. And then before you know it, it's all about your mood. And I'm just feeling such a low mood. And it's like low mood, low life. You just know that. Whenever you're in a low mood, your life just lives low and you live low because it's like even the things you were used to, you just can't do anymore. And when you get to that place, you can quite easily slip into depression because you've got no hope, your discouragement is high and you're in a low mood and now your emotions are everywhere. If you're in that place, come on, we're speaking hope today. We're speaking hope because even at this moment, you can look up. It seems too simplistic, but as you would look up, as you would see Jesus, suddenly hope can start to rise because the word is true and God will move in your heart. You see, here's what I've learned. And when I think about the hills, I think about the psalmist, and he paints this picture of there's hills, multiple hills. And our life can be like that, where I've got hope in this thing, and I've got hope in that thing, and one hill's money, and one hill's your work, and one hill's your job, and one hill's your relationship, and one hill's your health. But then they've all been taken from you. And now suddenly, all those hills are worthless. And so I've got to look to the one true hill, but I'm not used to looking at it, so even that's discouraged me, and I'm feeling condemned. Here's what I find, is that the Creator built all of those hills. Come on, God says it's good to work, and He creates work, and He creates finance, and He creates health, and He creates all of those things. But don't get confused and don't get lost looking at what the Creator has created for your benefit and for your good, but look to the Creator. That's where we need to find ourselves. That's why the psalmist said, look to the hills. Where does my help come from? I look to the highest hill. I look to the highest hill. I look to the only one true hill. I look to the one true God, the one who created everything. I don't want the creations. I want the Creator. I need Him in my life. And that's the switch that you can make in your heart and in your life today. If you can just get that courage, if you can just get that wee bit of hope, if you can just get that boldness and start to focus back on the Creator, because He truly is your hope. You see, every hill can look hopeful, But true hope comes from God. Number two, seek the highest help. We already mentioned it. Verse two, my help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Come on, who else can make the heavens and the earth? I know there's lots of other hills out there. There's lots of other opportunities out there. There's lots of other hopeful things out there. But 2020 just removed every single one of those things that we had and had in place, even as Christians. And now suddenly we realize the only thing I can trust in, the only thing that brings hope, the only one that I can put my hope and trust in is Jesus. Would you dare to believe that today? Even if you don't know God, even if you were skeptical about God, just turn around and look. What else is there to hope for? We don't live in a hopeless world, but what else is there to hope for? You've got to find hope. And the only place to find hope is Jesus. I mean, who else can create the heavens and the earth? Come on, I know we think it could be Big Bang. It could have just blown into existence. Come on, let's get real. We have an incredible earth. We see incredible things around us. They were created. They didn't just suddenly appear. And when you look at our lives, we are incredible creators. When we get our hopes up, when we get full of beings in a sense, we can create incredible things. But when I get discouraged, I don't want to create nothing. And our world has been created. We need to find the creator. Who else seriously can move like our God? Here's what God's spoken in my heart, the sight trap. Man, you ever noticed how our whole world is visual everything? I mean, we started off TVs. Remember, it was like, I don't know what it was before. It was like HD ready. And then it went full HD and you're like, oh, that's it. And then it went 4K and then it's going 8K. And let me tell you this, it is going to wherever the technology will bring us to. It will go 16K, it will go 32K. They'll come up with a new term and it will just keep on going to the extreme because sight is everything. Visual is everything. Isn't it incredible that the psalmist said, look, I mean, use your sight. You got to look to find God. I mean, we live in a world where the world knows that seeing is everything. But the way of the world is that seeing is believing. But the way of the kingdom is believing is seeing. Whenever we look around, we are being just inundated every single day. I would say 24/7 with visuals every single moment. Like our phones are getting better. So the vision, like what we see in our phones is even better. I remember the early days where it was just snake. It was like this like kind of rubbish grayscale sort of, it was even green scale. It's like this green kind of effect trying to shoot around the screen, had rubbish sound, looked bad, was no good, made phone calls. That was it. But now we've got phones that can do everything. It's just the visual levels of everything are through the roof. And so with that, guess what we're doing? We're getting just bombarded every single day. 24/7 news, 24/7 media, 24/7 noise, 24/7 social media. And it is hitting us in the face every single moment of every single day. Can you see why it's so hard to look up sometimes? Can you see why it's so hard to try and find God? And even know what the psalmist says in Psalm 121, is true, it's so hard to find out truth because I am being hit every single moment of every single day with news. And here's the problem. It's not even that good of news because the guys who create the news have realized that bad news always goes better. Bad news always travels faster, travels further, makes more money, it grabs more attention, keeps you more focused because you're like, oh my gosh, can you believe this is really happening? I remember back a few years ago whenever they had the Boston bomb during the marathon. I don't know if you remember that. It was crazy. But then they actually had the cameras on the helicopter and they were following the whole city and they're following the whole thing. And then they're like, we found the guys. We found a heat signature on a boat. It could be them. It turned out it was them. You just could not take your eyes off that screen. But I tell you this, I've realized now I am not made for that. Because when that goes into me, when that goes into my heart, guess what it does? It affects my heart. And then I start to live differently. And then when I try to switch roles and I try to switch life and I try to switch into prayer and switch into worship, it's like this stuff is still just replaying on my mind. It is hard to get rid of because what you see affects your life. And what affects your life? It's going into your heart. Here's what we read in Proverbs 4:23. Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flows the springs of life. You see, what we see goes into our hearts. If it gets into our hearts, get ready for it to come out of our hearts and affect our lives. And this is what I find, and maybe you find the same thing. If I'm 24/7 just getting whacked by all of this stuff, all these visuals, all this noise, all those things, then when I go to pray, when a test comes, when a crisis comes, and I need to trust my heart, I can't trust my heart. Because it's not full of the things of God, it's full of the things of the world. It's full of the things of life. And some of that may be good, but it's not God. And a lot of the stuff is just no good. And when you're seeing things 100 times over, 200 times over, and you're just seeing planes hitting buildings over and over and over again, or you're seeing a suicide bomber, or you're seeing those guys in Boston and they're running, I mean, it just does something in your head, and it definitely does something in your heart. And then in those moments, when you need your heart to come through with hope, when you need your heart to come through for praying and for worship and seeking the Lord, it's like your heart betrays you. It's like your heart lets you down. And your heart is your head. Come on, let's be real. Your heart is your head. And when you need that good thinking, when you need that believing is seeing, all you're used to now is seeing is believing. And all I see out there right now is crisis and problems and uncertainty and lies and trouble and no truth. And what does that do? It just creates uncertainty inside of me. And I become discouraged. And when I get discouraged, it destroys my hope. But what I need is a strong heart. We need strong hearts. And we get that by believing. Here's what John said right at the end of his book when he wrote it. John 20:30. The kingdom of God. Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not recorded in the book. Come on, there's so many more signs, wonders, and miracles that Jesus did that aren't recorded. So many more. And he set us up to do the same. Verse 31, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. Can I tell you that believing is life? Whenever you're not believing in God, no life. That's it. That's the truth. It's like you're going to look to other hills. You're going to look to other places of hope. But ultimately, they're going to fall. They're going to fail. So where do you look? Where are you looking right now? Where are you getting your hope from in this crisis? Can I tell you that the only true place to get hope is Jesus? Believing so that you can get life. Believing in the name of Jesus so that you can have true life. Okay, number three, rise in hope. I want to finish with that, with this, and I want to give you four quick points within this rise in hope. This is what I need. I need rising hope. I need hope that works for me even when I'm not having a good day. I need hope for me even when I'm in a low mood and it just continues to rise. I need this to rise up for me. And I've written down a few important things that we need to think about. Number one, stop the disconnection. Stop the disconnection. You know what? God is always working. He never fails. Bible teaches us that he is thinking of us all the time. He's praying for us. He's actually singing over us, rejoicing over us. But if I'm not connected, what good is it? I mean, you ever had that thing where this is not working. Have you tried plugging it in? I mean, yeah, okay, I should do that. There's electric in the house. The lights are working. The electric's clearly working. But whatever you need is not working. Is it plugged in? What about us? God clearly works. There's power in his name. But are you plugged into his presence? Are you plugged in? I know it's oversimplifying the whole thing. I know it's complicated. But let's be real. Are we disconnected from God or are we connected? If we're connected, hope's going to rise no matter what we do. No matter what happens to us, hope is going to rise. You read the Bible from start to finish. Have you ever done that? Or just pick out any story you will find. You will find people in trouble. You will find circumstances against them. You will find hopelessness. But if they're focused on God and God is with them, hope starts to rise. That's what we need in our hearts. That's what we need in our lives right now. So stay connected. My question is, what way are you connected with God today? What way are you connected with God? You got to ask that question. Because otherwise, low mood can take over, hopelessness can take over, discouragement can run wild in your life. But if you're connected with God, even if those things are there, hope is going to rise because God is with you. You see, life's going to be tough. You know that. Come on, let's be real. That's why we're talking about this, because life is tough. And so we need an antidote. We need an answer. Here's 2 Corinthians 4:8. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. But here's the reality for so many of us. We are hard pressed on every side, and I am crushed. I am perplexed, and I am in despair. I am persecuted, and I feel abandoned. I am struck down, and I do feel destroyed. You see, do you know his life? Are you connected to Jesus? Because when you do, even though you will feel things like I'm pressing every side, but I'm not crushed, even though you feel confused and you feel uncertain, I'm not in despair. Even though you feel persecuted, I'm not abandoned. Even though I feel struck down, I'm not destroyed. This is the truth of the good news of Jesus. Jesus. But if we're not connected, if we are going to stay disconnected, then we're never going to know the reality of his life. So number one, stop the disconnection. We've got to fight for this. We've got to fight hard for this. Number two, find something that floats. Find something that floats. Let me tell you a fun story from years ago. Years ago, me and a few guys went to Spain on holiday. I mean, imagine that. Who knows if we'll ever get on holiday again? I'm joking. I'm sure we will. But we went to Spain on holiday. We didn't do too bad of things, but one of the guys couldn't swim. And so what he did was, I can't remember if it was the first day or the last day, he jumped straight into the pool. And remember, you got to find something that floats. And so I'm thinking, what is this idiot doing? But he found something that floats. Me and the rest of the guys. And he pushed us down to keep himself up. Because this is what things that help you to float do. They keep you up. Now, it wasn't really nice for us because he was pushing us down. But what you really need is a life jacket. You need a life jacket. And if we get ourselves a life jacket, suddenly, no matter what storm, no matter what season, no matter what water we find ourselves in, we are going to stay up. And I think at this moment, that's all that's required. If you could just learn to stay up, if you could find your life jacket, if you could find Jesus, you would float, you would stay up. But the problem is, if you don't find him, then you're going to be grabbing and going, it's going to be like a scene of the Titanic. You're going to sink. I mean, what a terrible movie. Don't abuse me. But you need to find your life jacket because it's going to make all the difference for your life. See, life jackets save your life. Life jackets save your life. And you don't play with them. And this is what I find about life jackets. You don't play with them, and they're not a fashion accessory. They are serious business for a serious time. Our faith should not be something that we play with. Our faith should not be a fashion accessory. It shouldn't just be a cross around our neck. Come on, who cares about a cross around your neck? It should not be just one of those things that you do because it's fun, and it's just like, it just gives me a tiny bit of purpose. Our faith is real. Our guys before us died for their faith. There are people today in this world that are dying for their faith. There are people today that are actually being persecuted in this world because they're pursuing a life of Jesus, and it's worth it. Can I tell you that? But if we just play at this thing and we just use it as a fashion accessory or just an upgrade for our lives, get ready to sink and get ready for your life to make no sense, because you could be so close to Jesus, or you could be so close and yet not connected. You could be so close to him and completely missing the mark. The Bible tells us there are many that's going to come to him, and he's going to say, I don't even know you. I don't even know you. So we've got to stay connected. Here's two incredible things about life jackets. They don't allow you to sink. It's like you try and force those things down and they zoom you back up, and they keep pushing you up. They don't allow you to sink, and they keep pushing you up. And this is the same with Jesus. He doesn't allow you to sink. Do you remember that incredible story of Peter and he walks on water? I mean, everybody remembers the story because everybody remembers that Peter sank. But here's the point of the story. It's not that Peter sank. It's not that about the boat. It's about Jesus. The safest place is to be beside Jesus. The boat's not safe. That storm could have sunk it. Being on the water on your own is not safe. Being close to Jesus is the only thing. That's the point of the whole story. Where are you? Don't be in the boat and not close to Jesus. Don't be out in the water and not close to Jesus. Be next to him. Wherever he is, that's where I need to be. He is my life jacket. He is my lifeguard. He is my life jacket. He is my whole life, and he will give me fullness of hope. Number three, get real with the pain. Get real with the pain. Here's what it's going to take to follow Jesus. Absolutely everything. Absolutely everything. If you're going to follow after Jesus, you can't do it whole half-heartedly. You've got to do it with your whole heart. And anytime you try to do it half-heartedly, it's because you've got your hope in other things. But when your hope gets removed and your hope gets destroyed, where are you going to find yourself? You got to push through the pain. I heard of that statement, or maybe you've heard of that statement of, you know, don't bury your head in the sand. Where on earth does that come from? Well, look, it comes from an ostrich, doesn't it? This idea of an ostrich, and when they get scared, they bury their head in the sand. Can I tell you, you've believed a lie your whole life. Ostriches don't bury their head in sand because they're scared. They just don't do it. There's no such thing as that. That's a myth. If they buried their head in the sand, they wouldn't breathe, they would die. Guess why they do it? They do it because they're trying to create a nest in the ground, a hole in the ground. Because ultimately, the mom wants to bury her eggs in the ground. And then when trouble comes, guess what they do? They do bury their head in the sand, but not for a reason of scared or fear. They bury their head in the sand because they want to keep their eggs safe. They want to protect life. Wow, this is nuts. Maybe you've copied the ostrich, thinking it was doing it for fear, thinking it was doing it for just stupid reasons, and you find yourself doing it for stupid reasons too, and you bury your head in the sand. You've got to get real with pain. The only way to overcome fear, only way to overcome life is to face it. Think of the ostrich. It buries its head in the sand, not because it's thinking of its life, because it's thinking of others' lives. It's thinking of the eggs. It's keeping them warm. It's keeping them safe. It's saying, you know what? Even if I lose my life, I'm going to sacrifice everything to protect these lives. Okay, so we need to learn something from this. We need to learn something from this because sometimes we become so good at escapism. Sometimes we become so good at running away. Sometimes we become so good at doing the things we think they're doing when it's not really what they're doing at all. The ostrich doesn't bury its head in the sand because it's scared. It's doing it to protect life. What do you do it for? What do you do with your life when the pressure gets on, when it's painful, when it's difficult? Do we run away or do we stand firm? Here's what I find, and I want to ask you a question. What do you do when life gets tough? What do you do when you get worn out? What do you do when you get tired, when you get hopeless? What do you do? Here's what the movies have told us for years. Get ice cream and watch movies. Come on, let's be real. If a storm is blowing through your life and someone in your family's dying of COVID or someone in your family's dying of cancer or there's something incredible going on in your life, eating ice cream and watching a movie is going to do absolutely nothing. Will it make you maybe feel better for a moment? Of course, but it won't change anything. And ultimately, you'll feel worse. But what's the modern day? What's the everyday thing you might do? Oh, you should binge Netflix. you should binge Netflix. Like, that's going to change your world. I tell you what, a storm's going to blow through and it's going to affect your life. And binging Netflix is going to do absolutely nothing. Maybe I should just go get drunk. Maybe just go the old-fashioned way. Just go get drunk. What are you doing? All you're doing is escaping. Maybe I should just go have lots of sex. Well, like, what are you doing? All you're doing is just running away from the issue. It's not going to solve anything. We've got to realize in life, pain is normal. And if we're going to really seek after God, it's going to be tough. It's going to be difficult. But is it going to be worth it? Absolutely. Absolutely. We've got to get real with ourselves when it comes to our faith. Our faith is not an easy faith. Our faith, the moment you become faithful to God, you become a target to the enemy. That's just the way it works. It's just you become a target and he is after you because his goal is to kill, steal, and destroy Christians, especially those that are married, especially those that are doing things for God, especially those that are moving forward in the things of God. We've got to realize that we shouldn't run away from pain, but we should trust God in the midst of the pain. And he is with me and he is for me. You see, low living will lead to low times, will lead to escapism. But what do you need to do at this moment? I tell you, you need to do the hardest thing or one of the hardest things that it is to do in those moments. It's to look up. We're going to start. We're going to finish where we started. I lift my eyes to the hills because that's where my help comes from. My help comes from the Lord who made the heavens and the earth. Let's get real with their pain and pursue Jesus. Final thing. And all of this brings it all together. Number four, let Jesus take over. You see, you can do all those things, but if you don't let Jesus take over, it's just help, and it will not last. You need Jesus to take over. You need to look up, of course you do. You need to be aware that there's crazy things going on. You need to protect your sight. You need to stay connected. You need to be mindful of what's going on in this world. But ultimately, you need Jesus because he is your hope. And I tell you what, there's two aspects of this. You got to pray. And you're going to say, Jesus, I love you. Help me. I can't do this in my own strength. I need you to break through. I need you to help me. That is the number one thing that you could do. And then number two, you need to cry out. You need to worship. You say, Jesus, I need you. And I need to fall on my face. And I need to cry to the Lord. And I need him to heal me. And I need him to restore me. And I need him to be there for me. And in those moments when I face my pain and I bring my discouragement to him and I bring my hopelessness to him, guess what? He's going to heal me. He's going to encourage me. He's going to lift me up and he's going to fill me full of hope. And then guess what? Hope's going to rise. Jesus will become my hope and I will look to him in every season. It's time to pray. It's time to fall on our knees. It's time to do the complete opposite of what everybody else does because remember, we're not like everybody else. Go watch Netflix if you want. Go eat ice cream if you want. Go have loads of chocolate. Go sleep around. Go drink. Do all those things if you want, but they will not give you what you're looking for. It will be a temporary escape to a permanent situation. Jesus is a permanent story. Jesus is a permanent place. Jesus is a place that we should live. Jesus is our hope for every season. Jesus is our hope. And so where will you look? Where will you look? I'm going to tell you, use every bit of faith you've got, every bit of courage you've got, every bit of whatever you've got, and look up and find him. We're going to pray. Lord, I just thank you today for everybody that's watching, everybody that's tuned in. Lord, look, I know we're all facing different things. Every single one of us are facing things, and none of us are knocking that, and none of us are coming against that, and none of us are saying bad against it. But the truth is, the only way to overcome is to find you, Jesus. In the midst of our mess, in the midst of our struggles, in the midst of our pain, in the midst of our tears, to find you. Lord, I pray today that everybody that needs you would find you. I pray for everybody that's lost, they would find you, Jesus. And I pray right now, if we don't know him, if we don't know Jesus, that right now we'd believe in our hearts and we would say, Jesus, I need you. And that simple prayer of crying out for him would save our lives forever. Lord, I pray for Christians. It is time to look up. It is time to have rising hope. It is time to overcome in all circumstances. It is time to be what the world needs us to be, which is many Jesuses, which is just going right now, every place we find ourselves, making a difference in this land. Lord, we are not to criticize. We're not to complain. We're not to be like everybody else. We are faithful people. And we overflow with faith, and we overflow with hope, and we overflow with joy. And so I pray, Holy Spirit, right now, would you touch your people? Would you strengthen our hearts? And would you allow us to look up and find Jesus? Jesus, you're all that we're living for. You're all that we want. We're not burying our heads. We are looking up and we're seeing you. Jesus, we love you and we bless you in your precious name. Amen. Thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you so much for being here. Enjoy this last song. And if we can help in any way, please get in touch. And always remember, share, pray, do whatever it takes. Get the word out there. There are so many people that now can have access to what we're doing. And if you share it, it can transform a life, and maybe not even a life, but a whole family. So be blessed and keep sharing the good news. Thank you.